reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Mary set out in those days and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, as you probably know, there's a confusion in the O Antiphon, which the Church has been using for 1600 years as part of the immediate preparation for Christmas. We just sang O Emmanuel, which is the seventh of them all. Today is the Orion's Day, but we punt the Orion's at the Gospel verse to Christmas Eve, because that's the Canticle of Benedictus, which we say each morning in morning prayer, in which we talk about the dayspring from on high rising on those sitting in the valley of darkness. But in the original constitution of the O Antiphon says we'll sing tonight in Vespers. Today is O Oriens, which is the greatest liturgical irony of the entire year. That on the longest day of the year, in which the sun still hasn't even come up, even though it was supposed to come up at 7:15, which we only have 9 hours and 15 minutes of sunshine, we say what? We say, winter is past on the first day of winter. And as it's been torrentially downpouring, the rains are over and gone. As all the leaves are falling, the flowers appear on the earth. Because this is a day that even though we see darkness, even though we're being pounded with rain, even though it seems things are falling and dying, it's a day of extraordinary hope. From this day forward, we'll get more light each day. We're one day closer to spring. And so today's O Antiphon is O Oriens, splendor, lucis, eterne et sol justitiae, O rising one, like the sun, sun of justice, splendor of eternal light. Come and illumine, veni et illumina, sedentes, all those sitting in the valley of darkness, in valley tenebrarum, in tenebras, actually, is tenebris is what they say, et in umbra mortis, et in the shadow of death, just as we'll hear from Zechariah on Monday. O rising sun, sun that brings us a right relationship with the Lord, who shows us the splendor of who God is and his eternal light, come illumine us with that eternal light, who are tempted to sit in darkness and under death's shadow. The Lord wants to lead us from sitting to moving. He wants to raise us from darkness into his own beautiful light. And he similarly wants to raise us as the sun rises each day from the shadow of death into the fullness of life. That's what the Church wants us to focus on this day of Advent. So the readings help us, in a sense, to ponder that reality. Jesus is coming to us, not reluctantly. He's coming full of enthusiasm. The Song of Songs shows his approach. My lover, here he comes, springing across the hill, a mountain, leaping across the hill. My lover's like a gazelle or a young stag. He's coming fast. He's coming joyfully. He's coming leaping for joy. He speaks, he says to me, and this is the fundamental characteristic of Advent, "Arise, my beloved, my beautiful one, and come. Arise, get up from sitting in darkness in the valley of death. Arise, experience my resurrection, and come. See that you're lovable. See that you're beautiful. Don't think you're unlovable. Don't think that you're not beautiful, that there's no goodness in you." He reminds us precisely of who we are, and he lifts us up by his own love and draws us to a new life-changing encounter. You know, the lesson that the church ponders on Christmas morning from St. Leo the Great teaches us about this lesson. O Christian, remember your dignity. And this dignity is one in which the Lord finds us not just good, but beautiful and extraordinarily lovable. And that reality, when we begin to look at ourselves from his eyes, does have this capacity, this source and quarter effect, to lift us up. We see how Jesus was actually doing that in time, putting into fulfillment these prophetic words of the Song of Songs in the Gospel today. Before Jesus had even the tiniest defeat formed in the Blessed Mother's womb, he was leaping across the hills, first the hills in which Galilee is made, then the huge mountain on which Jerusalem has been constructed, and then down at Ein Karim and up into the hills in which St. John the Baptist would have grown up. Jesus was coming like a deer, like a stag, with great enthusiasm, seeking to help us rise. He did that to John the Baptist right at the beginning as John began to jump up and down as soon as Mary's greeting was heard. And we're called to welcome that action. St. Elizabeth's words teach us about an important way this occurs. "I've always been moved that, filled with the Holy Spirit, she cried out in a loud voice and said not, 'How does this happen to me that my Lord should come to me? How does this happen to me that while I am pregnant, the Messiah is finally coming into my own home?'" It's not what she exclaims. "How does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should, the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She was focused on the mother even more in a sense than on the son, because the mother was the modality, was in a sense the John the Baptist for the mother of John the Baptist to prepare straight the way to arise and go out to meet the one who showed his love for her and her great beauty in answering her prayer to overcome her sterility. "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb," she says. Again, starting with Mary's beatitude before she announces her sons. Now, everything was in relation to that son, but there was a sequence here. And I think it's an important sequence in every Advent. If we wish to meet Christ who comes for us, we will do so always through the modality that God himself chose. He wasn't just showing up, but he was being born of a woman, born under the law in the fullness of time. And he wishes us to receive that package deal through Our Lady, who will teach us precisely how to arise, to leave all darkness behind, to not worry about the shadow of death, and to live in the light of the Lord's grace and favor. Jesus seeks to continue to make everybody leap like John by overcoming that tendency to remain where we are, sullen and in the shadow of death. Pope Francis, as we've talked about before, and Evangelii Gaudium, his pastoral plan for his pontificate, his take on the new evangelization, says, truthfully, that there are many Catholics who live as if every day is Good Friday, who walk around as if they're perpetually returning from a funeral. True Christians have got to look as if every day is Easter Sunday, even our worst days, and that we're perpetually returning from a resurrection, that we're sharing a little bit in the joy of Mary Magdalene on Easter Sunday. That is capable of penetrating likewise the darkest day of the year, a rainy day, a windy day, the sorrows that we have in family situations, the difficulties that we have in health. This doesn't mean a fake, smiling, Pollyannish way of going through existence. But it does remind us that no matter what we're experiencing, the Lord Jesus comes to us with enthusiasm saying, arise, you are beautiful, you are lovable, come to me. And he does this most here at Mass, when we have the chance to receive the blessed fruit of Mary's womb. Been having a little problem with my shoulder. Probably a minor rotator cuff thing. You know, every once in a while when that happens, and it kind of happens cyclically, I think it's partially due to the way that I sleep, and you start on your belly, and so you're leaning on your shoulder a little bit, but at times it hurts to elevate the host very high. But there's one suffering that I always take, which is to sort of push myself through whatever pain it is to get Jesus as high as a 5'6" priest can possibly lift him. Because this is the Oriens, the rising one, to get him high so that everybody can see him. You know, the church has always talked about the liturgy being celebrated ad orientem. You can interpret that literalistically, and the church has over the course of centuries always building altars with the apses toward the east so that when the host is raised above the priest's head, everybody is able to look at Christ as the sun is actually coming from that direction, to teach us very importantly this connection between the physical world that God made and the spiritual world, that the sun rising every day is supposed to be a reminder to us of the resurrection and how we're called to live with the risen Jesus every day. In many places, especially during Advent, they turn the altar around. Many bishops will celebrate throughout the Advent season masses ad orientem. But Pope Benedict loved to stress, we don't have to physically turn around to experience the spiritual reality, that everything we do is meant to be oriented toward the Orients with a capital O. In the early church, at the time of the Eucharistic prayer, the deacon would cry out, Conversi ad Dominum. Turn yourself toward the Lord. That's what we always do liturgically, as Christ comes, rising, so that we can behold him who comes for us and hear him say, arise to my beloved, my beautiful ones, and come. And then Jesus, just as much as he did in the Blessed Mother's womb, enters into our very being so that he can fill us with light from the inside out, so that we can go out with him within and make others sleep again.